It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the LBC Daily Debrief, a dive into the biggest stories of the day. I'm Richard Suchet. Terror suspects are being arrested in record numbers in the United Kingdom. We'll look at the reasons why with the security expert, Professor Anthony Gleese. Plus,
today we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital.
As Donald Trump makes America the first country to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, we'll look at the repercussions already playing out in the Middle East. And a report into last year's tram crash in Croydon has found the driver may have briefly fallen asleep. Our reporter gets reaction from the survivors on that news. So, speaking this morning, the Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson has said Islamist terrorism is not an existential threat to the UK.
It is a scourge, it's a disease, a malaise, but we can get on top of it. Because for all its allegedly instant addictive power, there are in reality only a tiny minority of people who are going to be remotely vulnerable to its bombastic lunacies.
But we learned today that terror suspects are being arrested in record numbers in the United Kingdom. Official figures show 400 people were held in the 12 months to the end of September. That's up 54% on the previous year and includes arrests linked to the attacks in London and Manchester. Well, let's get more on this from Professor Anthony Gleese, Director of the Centre for Security and Intelligence Studies at the University of Buckingham. What do you make of Boris's comments, Professor Gleese?
Well, I should come clean, say I'm not a Boris fan, but I should have thought even his fans would find his comments extremely bizarre. Talking about the crack cocaine of jihadism, then to say it's, you know, crack cocaine of jihadism that stems from the behavior of repressive states is bizarre, because as everybody knows, we experience jihadism not just in the United Kingdom, the entire West repeatedly, and I don't think Boris Johnson would regard us as a repressive state. And then finally, he says, UK foreign policy isn't the problem to jihadism, it's the solution to jihadism. And that may be a reasonable view. However, he's thereby contradicting the very strong case he made repeatedly in the past that had Tony Blair not taken the United Kingdom into the war against Saddam Hussein in Iraq, then the Islamist problem would be far less. So his speech seems to me to be all over the place and not helpful, particularly set in the context of the Home Office statistics that have been presented this morning and set in the context of what Andrew Parker, the Director General of MI5, said just a few weeks ago in London, that the pace of terrorism in the United Kingdom was the worst he'd seen in 34 years. So I think we face a very serious problem here in the United Kingdom.
So you think that these numbers are significantly up because more people than ever want to do us harm, rather than we're just getting better at tracking them and finding them?
Well, I'm not sure that we are getting better at tracking them. There again, just a couple of days ago, the former independent reviewer of the government's counter-terrorist legislation, David Anderson QC, published his report drawing on secret MI5 and counter-terrorist police assessments of what went wrong in Manchester and what went wrong in London in the attacks that began in March of this year. And his conclusion is that although we seem to be good at disrupting some plots, we're still making serious mistakes, mistakes which could have been averted. Yes, he's speaking with hindsight. We all understand hindsight's a wonderful thing and all of that. But we're still missing the connections between pieces of intelligence, and above all, the critical question. We know there are about 23,000 people who are on MI5's books as potential jihadists. You can add to these the same number of people that MI5 don't know about. Now, how MI5 deals with such a large number of people who mean to do us harm is the really critical question, and we're not getting it as right as we should be getting it at the moment.
All right, Professor Anthony Gleese, Director of the Centre for Security and Intelligence Studies at the University of Buckingham. Thanks very much for joining us here on the LBC Daily Debrief. Well, now it's official.
While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering. Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital.
Donald Trump has made America the first country to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's a move that's been roundly condemned across the world, as it will only increase tensions in the Middle East. The militant group Hamas are already calling for a new uprising against Israel, and protests have broken out in Ramallah and Bethlehem. So are things only going to get worse from here? Joining me now is Middle East correspondent for The Independent, Patrick Coburn, who lived and worked in Jerusalem for a number of years. Just give us an insight into what Jerusalem means to Israelis and Palestinians, and the sense that you got from them when living in Jerusalem.
Well, you know, Jerusalem is the holy site of three great religions, Islam, Christians and Jews. And there are really two things. One is the city itself, of course, has an iconic meaning for Israelis, for Palestinians, for Jews and Muslims. But in particular, it's the holy sites that are important. There's the Wailing Wall, there's the for Muslims, and they take this very seriously, is the Dome on the Rock and Al-Aqsa. And anything, when I was in Jerusalem, I thought anything that affected the holy sites there was a really serious issue, in the way that other things that seemed serious often went away. They didn't have long-term repercussions.
Why do you think he was so keen to make this declaration, this announcement? I mean, if it was going to put a stumbling block in the Middle East peace process, why do it? What did he have to gain?
I think it's dictated by US politics. He sort of said that himself, that he promised it on the campaign, and now he's going to fulfill that. The previous presidents had made campaign promises and then reneged on them. I suspect it's also pretty specific. I think he probably gave promises to various major supporters and donors of his campaign that he would do this. And he's now fulfilled his pledge. For the U.S. in the Middle East, in fact, in the world in general, I think the impact will be entirely negative.
And finally, we have seen some clashes in the West Bank and Gaza. What's your reading of that? How much worse do you think it will get, if at all?
We've had clashes before. It's not at that a level that I think the real danger is, because the Palestinians are pretty weak. The Israeli security forces are pretty strong. It's that big Muslim countries like Turkey, like Pakistan, are going to be much more alienated from the US. And also, this will be a specific issue which will fuel terrorism. You'll see that sort of terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda will take advantage of this. So generally, this is heating up the situation. I think that this is exactly what the Middle East did not need.
All right. Patrick Coburn from The Independent, Middle East correspondent there. Thanks very much for joining us here on the LBC Daily Debrief. Now, the Croydon tram crash, an horrific story that you've probably heard about, but the details of which you might not be familiar with. And if you're wondering why you're struggling to remember the details of this tragedy in which 7 people died and 69 people were injured, then it might be because of what else was on the news agenda that day. It happened on the morning of November the 9th, 2016, the very morning that Donald Trump was elected. But the final report into the crash has been published today by the Rail Accident Investigation Branch, and it says there was nothing wrong with the tram, the track, or the brakes, and it was probably caused by the driver losing awareness of where he was. As I say, seven people were killed after that tram overturned on a sharp bend last year. It had been travelling at 46 miles per hour. The limit was 13. Well, the LBC Daily Debrief's Rachel Venables has more details on the causes of the crash and the impact it's had on survivors.
On a cold, rainy morning last November, dozens of people boarded the Wimbledon-bound tram at New Addington. The carriages were busy but quiet, people listening to music, reading books or the paper. Then they went into the dark tunnel just before the Sandylands tram stop.
I remember thinking, oh, we must have hit a car, because we sort of jilted and jostled a little bit initially. And then just an almighty force threw us over to the right-hand side. We carried on going like a motion. The only way I can describe it is as if we was in a washing machine, because I felt everything around me going round and round. And I just had a thought of, I better close my eyes because I think I'm going to die.
Claire survived, but seven people did not.
Crews have worked tirelessly with colleagues from the other emergency services to rescue a significant number of injured passengers, some of whom were unfortunately trapped by the nature of the derailment.
And sadly, we can say that there has been some loss of life.
51 people were taken to hospital, 16 of them with serious injuries. Even a year on, Tai Ajibola, who cut his face, damaged his leg and shoulder, says painkillers don't work.
I can't sleep to that side. I only lay down on my back and that is it. And after 2-3 hours, I just wake up and I'm in serious pain. Like 2 days ago, I'm close enough like this to call an ambulance around 4 a.m. in the morning because it was a serious pain.
Well, the final report into this crash by the Rail Accident Investigation Branch found a perfect storm of problems. Things like poor signage along the route, bosses not understanding the risks of a derailment, and drivers being too scared to report other near misses. On top of all of that was the tired driver who moments before the crash had lost awareness of where he was, possibly suffering a microsleep. Now, the report also recommends trams get automatic braking systems and a dedicated safety body, as well as stronger doors and windows. Several of the victims were flung out through the shattered glass when the tram toppled. Here's Claire Ware again.
For me, I feel very angry about that because seven people lost their lives unnecessarily. I think it's going to be extremely hard to digest for the families that have lost loved ones to know that if only those windows and doors were reinforced, then maybe their loved ones would still be here. Reading through the report, all of the fatal injuries and serious injuries were caused by ejection through one of the windows or the doors. So I think we can categorically say that if those windows and doors were reinforced, then we would not have been looking at the extent of fatality as we do currently.
And that is your LBC Daily Debrief for today. I'm Richard Suchet, and we'll have another dive behind the biggest stories for you tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure to hit subscribe so that you never miss your daily update. And if you've enjoyed today's programme, which I have no doubt that you did, then please do leave us a very generous review. But of course, the news doesn't stop with this podcast. Make sure you listen to LBC on digital radio, FM in London, or online at lbc.co.uk. And make sure you tune in to us tomorrow.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
On season 3 of our show, Amazing Wildlife, we have spotlighted captivating animals from around the world, like the capybara.
Capybaras are actually the world's largest rodent, and they have short little ears that they wiggle very much like hippos. It's one of the cutest things. They're one of the most adorable animals.
All episodes of season 3 are available now.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. a little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.